Welcome to the third and final installment of our interview with Craig Balding, who's a security practitioner at a Fortune 500 company. In the previous segments, Craig discusses the benefits of cloud computing for application development. In this segment, he talks about the security elements surrounding cloud computing, such as software monitoring, implementing security patches, and the reduction of data leakage. Let's start by talking about monitoring. Craig, does cloud computing offer better monitoring of software? Can customers worry less about vulnerabilities in the software?
Now, that's a tough question. From a monitoring perspective, the providers essentially need to be able to monitor the API calls that are coming in, that are making service requests. One of the challenges is simply that whenever you have centralized data, for example, you have the issue where you've got, all your eggs in one basket. So you have the potential to do better monitoring of that data because it is in one place, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to happen. And typically, you get what you pay for. So as far as kind of monitoring of the actual software itself rather than perhaps the data that's being processed by the software, I would say that with the continued development of virtualization and virtualization isn't a requirement for cloud computing, but it tends to be a feature of a lot of the offerings today. Some of the instrumentation that's going on, even in the security space, but just generally within the VMs, really means that you can do fantastic monitoring. So I would say that the answer there is a should be, but it's really going to depend on how much effort people actually put into it. You're not going to just get that for free. As far as the part about, can customers worry less about the vulnerabilities in software, I think that given the speed of vulnerability sharing, so a researcher finds a security issue in a piece of software on a website, they make a choice whether they go to the vendor or whether they sit on that weakness for a rainy day, whatever that might be, or whether they actually share it with the community. But I think if you're going to offer, say, software as a service, and you're going to have, a central point where the services are offered, the data is stored, you need a very quick response. So whether someone approaches you and says, look, this is what I found, there's a serious weakness, perhaps, in the authentication or in the separation, you're going to have to be able to be very fast about how you, first of all, prove what you're being told and how quickly you're able to come up with a workaround or a fix. And then obviously you have to be able to test that. So I think that certainly for software as a service, that's a huge deal. In the case of traditional software where, the software is running on the customer's machine, I think in that situation you still need to be fast, but it's not the same as running a service. So customers are still exposed for sure. But obviously, people have to go and find all the machines where the software is running. They don't just have the one place. So I think that, it does require vendors to be on top of their game. I wouldn't say we can worry less, but the questions that I would ask as a security person, I'd be really interested in the caliber of the software developers that are charged with fixing security weaknesses in online services.
In one of your blog posts, you said that cloud computing allows for more secure builds. What do you mean by this?
Oh, yeah, that's basically just stating that you can have kind of golden images. For example, with a virtual machine, you can pre-build it so that you have just the services running that you need, just the basic user IDs that you need. You can patch it to the right level. With VMware, you can do offline patching as well so it doesn't expose a vulnerable virtual machine to the network. So it's really just this concept of, it's an old concept. We used to have, when we weren't bothering with virtualization, we had the traditional model. So you had a hard drive, perhaps you imaged that, or you had an ISO image from that. So it's really that, but it's the difference that now, just with a click of a mouse, you can clone those. But keeping those up to date. So for example, if you go to Amazon and you pick one of the virtual machines that's offered there, one of the Amazon machine images, you're going to get what's there. There's no promise from Amazon that they're keeping those up to date. I mean, fortunately, there's a few people, a few customers that, they're customers / cloud providers, so they're offering services on top of Amazon, and they actually maintain some AMIs and keep them available to the public. So that's great, but it's something you have to be aware of. And if you do it right, then you can save yourself a lot of patching headache later on, because you start off with a secure build. And you know, as every developer knows, you know, the challenge is you develop your code in perhaps a weak environment or a default environment, and then as soon as it goes into a production environment, you have the problem that it just breaks. So, you know, where possible, it's better just to start off with, it doesn't have to be the ultra secure version, but at least more secure, enough room to maneuver during a software development activity, but not so wide open that you know, the code just breaks when you put it onto a hardened machine.
You also said that cloud computing reduces the opportunity for data leakage. Can you explain?
Yeah, I mean, we get inundated with stories of lost laptops, laptops left in taxis, stolen out of people's homes. And I think the challenge certainly for large enterprises and for government is to try and actually track, you know, where is the data, who's got copies of what. And so you've just got these kind of giant dustbins of data, which are getting lost, you know, left, right, and center. So it's a real problem. And, you know, you end up having to basically go for kind of complete hard drive encryption for all your mobile clients, whether it's laptops, phones, whatever, if you're hosting sensitive data. But that's really hard to do consistently. So if you have, you know, 50,000 laptops within your company, then guaranteeing that every single one of those is encrypted, it sounds like it should be doable, but in reality, it can be very difficult. So coming to cloud computing, if the data is in the cloud and you have thin clients, those could be mobile clients, but thin clients where there is only a significantly smaller cache on the thin client, just to speed things up, but the data is in the cloud, then in theory you have, you know, less opportunity to actually lose those laptops, simply because you don't have them anymore. But again, you don't get this unless the fact it's all in one place gives you the potential for this. It doesn't give it to you just by the fact it is in one place. So again, it's coming down to how will the providers monitor that, and if your company is perhaps using the cloud and putting the data there, then you have to some extent some ability to monitor what's there. But if you just take, for example, storage services today that are in the cloud, you know, the simple question is, okay, is there an audit trail for when somebody accesses one of those? And the best you'll get is effectively kind of an Apache-style log that shows, you know, who accessed, well, which IP accessed what resource. But there's no guarantees about these logs. If you go through the development documentation, you'll see that these logging mechanisms are not guaranteed. So you could just be missing chunks of logs. So right now we're still in the, again, it's early days. I think there is tremendous potential, but you actually have to do something to get it. So we'll see what happens.
Thank you, Craig. I think a lot of the information you provided helped clear up a lot of confusion surrounding cloud computing. That concludes our 3-part interview with Craig Balding. Thank you for joining us, and if you're interested in more information about software development, visit searchsoftwarequality.com.